I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hi guys, and welcome to this week's episode of Heavy Metal Tones with me, your podcast host, Tony Evans. I have said that now 150 times, would you believe it? This is my 150th episode. I'm pretty chuffed with it, to be honest. The stats say that most amateur, and that's exactly what I am, an amateur podcaster with no sort of production or producers or anything like that, last about 10 episodes, and some even the big ones last about 10 episodes. So 150, I'm pretty chuffed. It's really nice to keep chatting to you and other people are still listening. It's good to keep, you know, my passions for these things alive, knowledge that I have, and also just the knowledge I learn, and just have a good old chinwag, you know. So this week's episode, 150, what was I going to do? Now, I was tying up with doing all sorts of stuff, you know, Iron Maiden stuff, and I thought, you know, all that sort of stuff, but I picked up the Saxon's latest album, which is the tribute album to all their favourite songs. And on there was one track that keeps haunting me, has been hanging around me in some way or another for the last probably 35 years. It's a track by one of the most influential singers and bands of the early 70s. They still keep influencing now because of the connections of other bands. You'll know by the episode name, it's the sensational Alex Harvey Band, and the singer is Alex Harvey. Unfortunately, he died young, so we don't have much work of his that we can get our teeth into. But the song that they covered on the Saxon album was Faith Healer. Now, Faith Healer, I've heard many bands cover this particular track. I've heard Fish, one of my favourite singers, as you know, he did it. Saxon have done it. I mean, I could name loads more, but it's a song that sort of sits with me, and it's interesting because I listened to Alex Harvey, or the sensational Alex Harvey Band, or SAB, as he liked to be called, many years before I'd heard the Fish version of it, because I remember watching a rerun of Top of the Pops, one of those classic Top of the Pops episodes. It was about 84, 85. And I'm sitting there in front of the TV, one of the very rare moments I got to watch Top of the Pops in house. My dad was away working, I would imagine, or out of the pub or something like that, or asleep in bed. But it was on TV, and I sat there and watched it. And Delilah came on. Now, my dad being a big Tom Jones fan, we listened to, whenever he did listen to music, he loved Tom Jones. And Delilah was always there. Quite a sad song about someone being taken to be executed or hung. And it's quite a sort of dark and oozing song. And not in the hands so much, I don't think, of Tom, but in the hands of Alex Harvey, it has this sort of bitter, vitriolic pantomime nastiness, which I really, really loved. And so I sort of listened to a bit of Harvey, sort of sporadically through my teens until I refounded me when I was like 19, sorry, around that time. I picked up Alex Harvey Live, Saab Live, and it sort of invigorated my love for him and his music. And I was thinking, what was I going to do for my 150th? And I thought, well, you know what? He's one of the most he's massively influential on me and on the music scene. So I thought, we'll do a quick, as much as I can get into the time I have, they released several albums as Saab, but only two of them are the ones I'm going to mention, because only two of them are really worth our proper Saab albums, if you know what I mean. But we'll firstly start with Mr. Alex Harvey himself, and then we'll come into the second part of the show and we'll talk about the band, and then we'll talk about some recommendations music-wise for them. So, excuse me, I've just got to get my right notes. Alex Harvey, where do we begin? Alexander James Harvey, born on the 5th of February 1935, is a year younger than my father. My father was born on the 4th of February, and he died the 4th of February 1982, a day before his 47th birthday. He was a Scottish rock and blues musician, born in Glasgow with the Gorbals. Born in an era when Glasgow, pre-war and post-war, very tough place to be. My father was sent there to Scotland during the war, evacuated, and spent some time in Glasgow, which was a bit weird because it was my bomb city in Europe at the time. But my nan, being my nan, sent my dad to Glasgow because we have relatives there. So, you know, I mean, but he then spent the rest of his time in Aberdeen and around that area. One second, let's have some tea. He worked in many jobs. He was a carpentry. He was a waiter. He carved tombstones. You know, sort of people, the sort of person that you did back then, you know, you just didn't wake up one morning, become an influencer, put your computer on and become an overnight sensation. You had to work your ass off, like most small musicians did, even now, even these days, to get where you are. And it shows the passion. I mean, you've got to imagine that at that time, it would have been quite a drab place. Not so much when he was a kid, because post-war Britain was quite a lovely place, but post-war Britain, Scotland, you know, bombed, dark, unemployment, you never see the sun, you know, no one, no acts, no music bands came, there was no, very little entertainment and very little money, I would have imagined. These parents aren't mentioned in his biography here I've got with me. He was born in Lanarkshire in Glasgow, Scotland. He first started performing in a skiffle group in 1954. And then he went, and he in 1960, his big claim to fame was at the town hall in Alloa, A-L-L-O-A, sorry, Scottish fans. Alex and his supporter band were supporting a band called Johnny Gentle and his group. And that was the Beatles. Would you believe? John, Paul, George and Stuart Sutcliffe and Tommy Moore. On the opening night of the biggest audience of the Beatles' 7th date tour of Scotland with Gentle. So the Beatles opened for Johnny Gentle and the band. And Alex Harvey opened for John Gentle. So it was an interesting... So he's on the same... bill as the Beatles, which is it interestingly echoes later on in his musical career. And Alex's band at the time was called the Big Beat Band, a skiffle band. And if anyone you don't know what skiffle is, it's a very UK centric form of rock and roll. So you had rock and roll in America and you had skiffle here, and the Beatles were loved skiffle when they performed with, as I said, they performed with John Gentle and his group, which was the Beatles, interestingly enough, as I said before. So I got, you get, it's, it was such a mind-blowing fact. I sort of got my tongue tied around that interesting piece of information. The fact that he played on the same stage in the same bill as the Beatles. Just crazy. Anyway, skiffle. So skiffle was basically, we're America, and this is not having a go at Americans, but we're America post-war was not in a place of financial ruin because of reparations and lend-lease and all this sort of stuff, lending money to us, the English and the Allies, to help fight the war. They not being, apart from Pearl Harbor, not being attacked by other nations. Yes, losing a lot of people, that goes without saying, but they didn't, the actual people back home weren't under threat all the time, and so there was a sort of sense of prosperity post-war, and you know, they could have electric guitars and big drums and playing big bandstands and have big audiences and, you know, chewing gum and comics, as my dad would say. You know, that was the American soldiers' way into the English girls' undies. it was knicker elastic, stockings, chewing gum and comics. Anyway, so that's a side note. And so we had skiffle. Skiffle was basically like, they would get a tea chest, an old wooden chest. So they don't know what that is, an old like wooden chest that people used to transport tea in. Turn it upside down, put a broom handle in the top, and tie a bit of string under tension from the top of the broom handle to the bottom of the box. And they would use that as a rudimentary upright bass, make a thumping sound. They would, if they could get a guitar, they would, which was quite rare, they would strum a guitar. They used to make up drums with different things. It was basically a sort of DIY rock and roll. And Tommy Steele was the big skiffle star here in the UK, and he has a connection with Tommy Steele as well, because he did win the Scotland's next Tommy Steele competition and got to play with him in London, which was fantastic. But the Teenage Idol competition. His musical roots were in Dixieland, jazz and skiffle music. He enjoyed considerable popularity in Britain during the 1950s. From 58 to 1965, he was a leader of the Alex Harvey's Big Soul Band, playing blues, rock and roll and songs, spending considerable time touring in the United Kingdom and Germany. Very big in Germany. He also won a competition, as I said, Scotland's Answer to Tommy Steele. Harvey became strongly identified with British rhythm and blues, although he was equally able to play rock songs. And that comes across quite later on in his career. After leaving the Big Soul Band, he briefly tried a solo career, but it didn't quite work. He found positive direction for his career when he became a member of the Pit Band. So basically, it was the Pit Band for Hair, the first run of Hair in the UK and Broadway. That's not Broadway, that's America. Dun-dun-dun. West End. He also recorded an album called The Hair Rave Up, which contained Harvey original songs. Self-titled album contained an early version of Hole in the Stocking, which is later on to be played on his other albums to appear on Framed. He remained with Hair for 5 years, and what he says about that in an interview, which I thought was really interesting, he said he liked being in the Hair band because he could play for maybe 2 weeks constantly, and then it would rotate guitarists, so he would go off and someone else would come back. Someone else to take his place, and then he'd go and tour with his band and come back and do. So it was a constant rollover of playing, you know, music for Hair, and then also going off and doing his show. Now, I have a funny story about Hair. I went to saw Hair with a girlfriend of mine in a theatre in, I'm going to say Islington, but I might be wrong. It's a bit vague. It was a big theatre. It was a hot, sunny day. I remember we went to a... We went to the matinee because it was the cheapest, and we got tickets on the stage. We sat the way the theatre was set up. You had seats at the front and seats at the back, and on the back of the stage, so you sort of watched the actors because it was in the round kind of thing. And you know the famous scene where all the flag comes down and then it comes up and they're all naked. Well, in the particular production of the show was Sunita. Now, if anyone remembers Sunita, a gorgeous lady of dark skin singer from the 80s. She did a cover of Pink Cadillac and just beautiful. And I thought, hopefully I'll get Sunita, right? And unfortunately I didn't. I got three or four very hairy men. And then they turned around and I got three or four hairy men again. I didn't get any ladies. All the other side, my blushes, you know, I don't know where to look, to be honest with you. And I don't know where my girlfriend went to look, although she did have a good giggle at the time. But that does remind me of that when I think of this musical. Anyway, funny, funny part of my life. All I got was bums and willies. So he leaves. He leaves the hair in his solo career behind, and he's desperately trying to find a way of fulfilling his musical destiny. But what he did, and what just like what the Beatles did, although this happens after the Beatles did what they did, he went to Hamburg, and as he said in his own words, in England, everything closed at 8 o'clock. You couldn't, like, if you came out of a show and you got, and his words were, you got a fish supper at 11 o'clock at night, you thought you were exotic. So it was all very buttoned down, grey and drab. There was no money. So he'd go to Hamburg, because Hamburg, for some reason, was the place to be. It was open 24/7. You played like the Beatles, 8, 9 hours, 10 hours a day. You honed your skills. He said he played on the same stage on the same nights as his heroes, as Chuck Berry, Buddy Holly. You know, he said it was just Little Richard, all this stuff, all before they sort of changed, became religious, and before Chuck Berry was, you know, in prison, all this sort of stuff. Really quite amazing lineup. And he said he watched these people and he honed his craft. And then one day on tour, in a tour bus, they're listening to some music, and he said that a piece of music came on, it just changed his life. He couldn't work out what it was. It was just something raucous, loud, fun and energetic. It turned out to be the fantastic Ray Charles, which was the comeback and changed the way he played his music as well in the future. So there's a sort of echo with the Beatles, and why he's such a great performer, because he basically did all the hard yards. Like he was saying in his biography that their first gigs, it would take 8 hours to get to a gig, and they had to take their front line with them. So they were on the bus, not a gig bus or a tour bus, a normal public transport bus, coach, and they had their speakers and their instruments and their stuff with them, because they couldn't afford touring and all the accoutrements that other people could do. And it just hardens you up, I think, makes you tough. So in 1972, Alex formed the Sensational Alex Harvey Band. His manager said, while he was in the doldrums, his manager said, look, I've got found this band up in Glasgow called Tear Gas. You got to come and see them. Now, at that time, Tear Gas were a progressive rock band, right? They were a prog band. And as Alex said, when he first saw them, they were raucous, they were loud, they were undisciplined, they were heavy, and they were introverted on stage, extroverted off stage. And he said he spent most of his time, because he was a lot older than them, sort of teaching them and reversing that, so they became extroverted on stage as well as off stage. The band was basically guitarist Zao Clemmensen. Now, I've seen Zao Clemmensen live a couple of times. I saw him Fish did a tour. There was a tribute to, he's one of his Argent's road managers died, or one of his managers was connected to Argent. So he did a sort of a tribute show to Argent, and Zao Clemmensen played on that. He also came on stage when he was doing his Songs from the Mirror tour, because Fish did his cover of two songs. He did Faith Feeler and Boston Tea Party, and both times Zao played on stage his amazing guitar with that. So I was really lucky to see him. And then you had bassist Chris Glenn and cousins Hugh on keyboards and Ted Hugh McKenna and Ted McKenna on drums, all previous members of progressive rock group Tear Gas. Now, you think, how, when I personally see Alex Harvey as the godfather of punk. So many people say it's other people that they say it's Lou Reed and so on. I think that it's, for me, the godfather of UK punk, definitely is Alex Harvey, because he was punk before punk even was considered. He was anarchic. He was his stage show was a wall, a brick wall with graffiti slogans on the back. He wore a tight stripy jumper all the time and tight jeans. You know, he was vaudeville. He was glam. He was hard rock. He was blues. He was definitely punk, because he was something that was not done before, and to be honest, never really done again. And for me, I consider him the most influential to the punk movement. And I think a lot of punk bands will tell you that themselves. Interestingly enough, guys, if you've got this far in the show and you're still listening, no Alex Harvey, no AC/DC. Now, I know you out there, I know you AC/DC fans are going, what do you mean? Well, they were huge, huge influence on the band. Former Scots, they're all Scots, the AC/DC, though they live in Australia, were Scottish, as we know, and their big influence, particularly Bon Scott, was Alex Harvey, musically, lyrically, visually. He also massively influenced Nick Cave. In fact, Nick Cave's first band was a Alex Harvey tribute band. Basically, he had a guitarist who had makeup on like Zal Clemson. He wore tight jeans and a stripy jumper, and they basically did covers like Next and Framed. Which is, you know, like he says it himself, and I've got it written down here somewhere. Excuse me. There's the influence. I wrote it down. No, I'll find it later on. But anyway, he did. So, big influence on a lot of bands. So, to all you hard rockers, and again, like I said, knock on effect. How many people have AC/DC influenced? I mean, huge amounts. So it's all about increments of influence, isn't it? You've got Harvey being influenced by rock and roll being influenced by Elvis, Elvis and rock and roll being influenced by blues and jazz, and then you've got AC/DC, one of the most sort of influential hard rock bands / heavy metal bands, I would never put them in that category, but hard rock bands in the world. Certainly have to be influenced by someone, and Alex Harvey was that. And if you, we'll talk about it later on, but there's a couple of songs that Harvey does that you can really hear the influence from Bon Scott in it. And if you ever listen to, and if you do me a favor, you will do this, you will listen to the albums I mentioned, please do that, and then listen to some AC/DC, and you'll go, hang on, that's exactly a Harvey Norman. Harvey Norman over here, Australia, if you don't know, people listening, is a guy that sells electronics. I mean, Alex Harvey, what? If I've said Harvey Norman a couple of times, I don't know why. Harvey Norman. Anywho, Alex Harvey. Right, so I'm going to have a break now because I've been speaking for 22 minutes. I need a bit more of a drink. And we've talked about Alex and his influences. Sadly, I didn't know about his death yet. He did die of a heart attack in Belgium after his show. At the age of 47, leaving two failed marriages and two children behind him. Very sad. But that's rock and roll, happens, eh? Anyway, we come back on the other side and we'll talk about the albums of Alex, Sensational Alex Harvey Band, the type of music they are, and my recommendations. Bye for now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome back, guys, to part two of the 150th episode. Couldn't even say it, put my teeth in. 150th episode. And this is a tribute to sensational Alex Harvey Band and the lead singer Alex Harvey. Not Harvey Norman, like I said earlier. So, he meets the band. They get together. They start writing some music. He brought a lot of songs of his own from previous incarnations of his own musical outings to the band. They had a succession of highly regarded albums and tours throughout the 70s. The band had top 40 hits in Britain and with the single Delilah, as I mentioned before, a cover version of Tom Jones' hit, which reached number 7 in 1975, and also the Boston Tea Party in June 1976. The band never acclaimed any success in the US, unfortunately. Maybe, according to his biography, one or two states in America did quite like his work, but didn't quite come across. It wasn't, I think, in the mid 70s in America, you were really listening to things like Boston and, you know, Journey and all that kind of stuff. I don't think the dark side of rock and roll was really grabbing the imagination of Americans, not until Iggy Pop and the punk movement exploded in the later 70s, I would say. Yes, the big single, the big thing that was over there, big was it was Faith Healer, and the song Next, which we'll talk about in a minute. Alex Harvey left the group in 1976. The other members continued for a little while afterwards, without Alex, producing an album called Foreplay. I don't recommend it, to be honest with you. It's a bit, if you're a real diehard Alex fan, Harvey Band, you will obviously like it. They also produced an album in 78 called Rock Drill when Alex toured in the UK with them in 81. So you went back and did one album with them called Rock Drill. I only really listened to the first two albums, which is Next and Framed. It's just not the same. It's like if the Pistols made a second album, I don't know whether it would be quite the same. It would feel a little bit stretched, you know what I mean? So he had a couple of... he did have a solo career. And if you really want to grab a solo album to get your teeth into, I know that Millsy particularly loves The Joker Is Wild, 1972 album. Worth having a jump into, because I think he did several. He did... on his solo career, in 64 he did The Blues. In 69 he did Roman Wall Blues. 72 he did The Joker's Wild. Mafia Stole My Guitar in 79. And Soldier on the War in 82. To be honest with you, Joker is Wild is probably the one that I would... I'd head to. Just because it's probably the most savvy of them all, really. But let's say with the Alex Harvey Band, Framed in 72 and Next in 73 are the two that I would... the ones that are easiest to get hold of and to listen to, they're the ones that I would grab. Excuse me here, I'm just making... Got to change my paper. ASMR. I think in the band, the thing that really drove the band was their look. So when they joined the band, it was a time in music when you could do anything, all right? You know, absolutely anything. And if you sold a record, good. If you didn't, you didn't care, because it was a way out of the drab doldrums of life. One of the reasons that I grabbed onto music as a young boy was because I come from a rough family and a tough side, just a tough time, tough place. And it was my salvation. And a lot of the times, this is what the case is with these musicians. And like, you had Val Clemenson, who was on guitar, who had this... real, and you'll hear it in his music later if you listen to the albums, he's got a real Clapton feel. When I say Clapton, I don't mean I Shot the Sheriff Clapton, I mean Disraeli Gears Clapton, that thick, psychedelic Gibson, you know, wah-driven sonic nightmare that Clapton sort of enjoyed during his times of substance usage in the late 60s. And he definitely has that sound. And he dressed as his character was a mime, so he was dressed with all the makeup. He didn't talk, didn't sing, just, you know, pranced around the stage a bit like Marcel Marceau, but very creepy version, in green and yellow. And then you had, you know, on bass you had Chris Glenn. Now he was dressed as a superhero, so he had like a blue jumpsuit with a silver codpiece on. And they'd have like risers on the stage, so they could all sort of stand on them and pose on them. And then you had Alex in his tight stripy shirt and his tight jeans, and he had an umbrella in a sword sheath, like at the side of his, like an umbrella on his belt, like a sword, often with a tramp's top hat, unshaven, long scraggly hair, teeth like tombstones, you know. The mouth of a constant smoker, of a pre-war child who didn't brush his teeth. You know the type. Scowling and being... He knew, and this is why people like Fish and people like Bon Scott loved him so much, is because he knew how to command an audience, how to use the written word, how to spit vitriolic characterizations through the mic to you in the live as an audience, down the mic into a recording, or on Top of the Pops or wherever. He knew how to control that room, you know, and they just knew. Now I'm not sure why they decided to take these sort of personas, but I think it was probably just trying to be slightly different, using that prog heritage that the band brought, and Alex's sort of anarchic pre-punk energy. And there was one album, unfortunately, that I sort of listened to, I dip into for one song only. So in January 1974, so in 1972 they released Next. Okay, and then in 73 they did Framed, and then in the 74, sorry, Framed in 72, Next in 73, and then they did an album called Impossible Dream in 74. Now they recorded the album and didn't like the outcome of it. So the manager took it away, remixed it, changed the sounds, and reissued it without the band's knowledge. And the band still went on tour with it, but weren't happy. And I don't really like it because it's not something the band wanted. And, you know, a lot of the time managers had that kind of power then. They wouldn't do it now. Well, they do, but I don't think you hear about it as much. But, you know, the manager just thought it was the right thing to do. Did it, and it sort of, I think it was one of the nails in the coffin to split the band up, to be honest with you. It was released later that year with a different production. Songs were dramatically changed. Original recordings formed an album called Hot City, released in 2009 by Major League Production. So again, if you listen to Hot City, which is also available on Spotify and every other platform that you can possibly want, it's just listening to that album. Again, it's basically an impossible dream. But really, you want to stick to Framed and Next. They're the two. And they contain some absolute cracking, let me get my notes open, absolute cracking songs. Framed.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Has the first song, Framed. This is the set line, the lineup. Framed, Hammer Song, Midnight Moses, Isabel Gowdy, Buff's Bar Blues, I Just Want to Make It to You, I Just Want to Make Love to You, Hole in Your Stocking, as I told you before. The Christmas, There's No Lights on the Christmas Tree, is They're Burning Big Louie Tonight, which was the very first single. Brilliant name for a song, right? And Saint Anthony. Nine songs, 43 minutes long. Very, to release a single off that album called There's No Christmas, There's No Lights on the Christmas Tree Mother, as They're Burning Big Louie Tonight, is one of those things that just makes me smile. It's very Beatlesque. It really does sound, if you listen to it, it has that sort of sound of something that would come off of Sgt. Pepper quite comfortably. Brilliant lyric. Obviously, it's about the power going out in the city because they're electrocuting a gangster. And so there's no power for them to have their Christmas tree lights on. Which, off that album, you could have taken any single, Framed. You could have taken anything off that album, but they chose that one single. And it didn't do much on the charts, as you can imagine. Probably sort of hung around the top 50, bubbled around. In fact, it didn't. In the UK, it got to 17. Australia got to 11. In Belgium, it got to 16. And all first three singles they released did exactly the same positioning, which is interesting, isn't it? But getting to 17 in the UK charts with that song, just crazy. Highly recommend it to listen to it. The album, both albums, have some amazing highlights. For me, the highlight on the first album, Framed, there's two. The opening and the songs, album's title, Framed. Brilliant. Now, actually, no, it's three. Isabel Gowdy. Isabel Gowdy's, it's so Alex Harvey in so many ways. It's about a 16th century lady that was accused of witchcraft and was burnt burnt at the stake. And it's just basically about the choice that she made. Was she really a witch or was she not? It's very vaudevillian, very theatrical, beautifully Scottish-centric. You know, very, very to his roots. And you know what the beautiful thing about Alex Harvey is? He didn't hide his voice behind some American accent to try and sell his name, his music worldwide. You can tell from the moment he opens his lips that he is a Glaswegian, and he is proud of that fact. And that's exactly the same way as Bon Scott, and it's exactly the same way as Fish. They really, really are proud of their Scottish accent and didn't hide it. And I think that's a commendable thing. Again, you know, the Christmas tree, there's no lights on the Christmas tree, Mother, as they're burning Big Louie tonight. Brilliant. But the one really, the one that that he brought to the our band, and I keep singing, and I cannot take this get the song out of my head, is Midnight Moses. Now, you can go on a YouTube and you can find him singing that on the old Grey Whistle Test, on Top of the Pops. There's some live performances of elsewhere. But Midnight Moses has got a brilliant, brilliant lyric, okay? One of my favourite lyrics of his. There's a way he spits the lyric, like, it starts very rock and roll-y. He goes, hey, hey, hey. And then you've got, you know, underneath the green veranda, singing along for Mad Miranda. They call me the Midnight Moses. Everything's coming up roses. I just, oh. I've got no way of knowing. I wish I had I wish I was a forest ranger. Danger, danger, danger. Who knows what that's about? But it's fucking brilliant. I had an afternoon fever when I flew off to Geneva. It just took me a notion to fly right across the ocean. They call me the Midnight Moses. But I'm coming up. Everything I touch is coming up roses. I think that sort of, it could be autobiographical, I don't know. But it's just the way he spits his vocal lines, the way he sings that, you know, like, hey, hey, hey. It just, I don't know, it's really addictive. And the band is just brilliant. I mean, sadly, they're not all with us anymore. But what a great band. You know, Zao on guitars, the drumming is, I mean, it's you can hear their prog influences in their music. You know, the keyboards, the vaudevillian theatrics, the bass is great. I mean, he is a great bass player. You know, he plays between picking and fingering the bass. He really, really hooks into the bass. He's got great persona on stage. Reminds me a bit of Slade. If you were to take Alex Harvey out, musically it reminds me a bit of Slade. It's very heavy rock. It's that very British heavy rock sound that Purple and Badfinger and Free were doing back then. You know, it's that real destroy your earlugs frontline sound. And you know, it's a brilliant, brilliant album. It's out of the two albums that I only listened to, as I said, which is Framed and Next. I'm going to say that it's my second favourite. Next is my absolute favourite. And I keep playing Next quite regularly. But the tracks on it are superb. That, you know, you really can't beat. I mean, Framed itself has a brilliant lyric. I'm walking down the street minding my own affair when two policemen grab me and I'm unaware. They said, is your name Alexander? And I said, why, sure. They said, you're the chap that we're looking for. But I was framed. I was just framed. I was never did anything, nothing wrong. I was just framed. It's just brilliant. Stories, right? I love a good story in a song. It's not just, you know, she holds my hand or I love you, babe. Or, you know, I love a good story. You know, another part of the lyric, there was 10 poor souls like me standing in the line. I knew I was the victim of somebody's evil plan. When a stool pigeon looked at me and said, that's your man. But I was framed. I was framed. I did nothing wrong. It's just brilliant. He said, where was you on the 3rd of June in 1963? Them cats with rubber hoses started giving me the third degree. Again, very American. You can tell he's sort of American, because back then in the late 50s, as I said, British slang was rather, it was just dull. So they were all grabbing these, you know, newsreel movie slang. The Americans really took over there after the Americans landed and helped us out during the war. And Framed has got that sort of sense of, you know, gangster that he often liked to portray. I would imagine that he would be like a lot of people in Glasgow in the 60s. Like, my father tells me a story that when he was there, because Dad went back to Glasgow in and around the late 60s, was married by then, sort of early 50s as a teenager. And he often had razor blades sewn into his lapels. So if someone grabbed you by the razor blades to try and give you a Glaswegian kiss, which is a headbutt, he'd slice your hands open. He also used to have razor blades in the sole, buried into the tips of his shoes. So if he kicked you, he'd cut you with the blades. Not that my dad was a thug or a villain. That was just the way you did to protect yourself. As I mentioned before on the podcast, my father knew the Cray twins not quite well, but he knew them. And he worked at the Blind Beggar, which is the pub that the Crays owned and hung around in. Different story, of course. But it's just a brilliant album, you know. And it's not one song on it you go, oh God, when's it gonna change, you know? But there's no lights on the Christmas tree, Mother, because they're burning Big Louie tonight. just brilliant. Oh. Paper sir, paper sir, paper sir, the mob's in town and the guns are out, and Louie knows it's all about. He's gonna gun the cops. He's gunning down the cops with a machine gun tops, moving in a black sedan, a stick up worth of 100 grand. See, and it's all about him, Big Louie being caught by the FBI, then being sent to prison and then being fried in electric lights around the city going out. Again, story. See, this is the thing. This is what makes Alex Harvey's music and him as a musician so right in my wheelhouse, and what makes prog so, and his kind of rock and roll so delicious, is that you come away and you've been told a story, you've gone on a journey with a character, and you've felt it through the music and through the vocal vitriol, and that it just, you know, I've met a guy once years ago who went to see Alex Harvey in Edinburgh, I think it was, in the early 70s, when they were touring with Next, and he said that it was a sea of black and white striped shirts. They were fanatical, these fans, and I have to say that I'd probably be one of those people, because I could just, the lyrics just grab you, and it's not all long storylines, okay? It's like later in other albums, like we're going to move on to the next album, which is Next, which is absolutely my favourite album, and I think one of the most underrated albums of all time. A truly, truly simplistic cover. It's just a white, beigey white colour, little triangle cut out, sort of like a shape with, that's framed, sorry, Next is him standing on the front, in his striped shirt, in his tight jeans, striped background, and it says the Sensational Alex Harvey Band, Next. And it starts with Swamp Snake, right? Swamp Snake is, it's an innuendo song. He bit her with the Swamp Snake. I mean, it is an innuendo song, okay? Nothing wrong with that. There's a lot of sexual innuendo in Alex Harvey's work. Always has been, always will be. That's what it was. It was that time. Let me be your Swamp Snake till the real one comes along. Let me be your Swamp Snake till the real one comes along. I want to be the medicine man. I won't do you no wrong. Let me brush your carpet, bring you coffee in bed. Let me brush your carpet, bring you coffee in bed. Let me sit in your pillow and root underneath your head. Let me bite you with my Swamp Snake. I mean, it's... again, American influences, okay? Medicine men, cowboys. It comes back to that when he talks about the Boston Tea Party on this album, okay? And then we get the next song. This, for me, is a song that says AC/DC all over. Now, for many years, since I was a young man, I've used the term, this is not a sexist thing, don't get me cancelled, but when I was a young man, and going to discos, and that shows my age, right, not that I went often, I was not a very good with the girls. And my mates Jason Donovan, what an unfortunate name, Jason and Daniel, they were really good with the girls, and they always seemed to, you know, in the terminology of the time, they pulled the crackers, right? And I always seemed to get the larger girl, the quiet one in the corner. And my mate Daniel, he used to use the term, she's a whole lot of Rosie. And I didn't quite know what he meant by that. Of course, what he meant was that she was a big girl, because in the song Whole Lot of Rosie, it's about a larger prostitute, Rosie by AC/DC. And rightly or wrongly, I used to use that term. I don't use it anymore now. I'm a fully grown up adult with sensibilities. But when I was younger, I'd often look at a larger girl and say, gosh, she's a whole lot of Rosie. And in a positive way, not, please don't cancel me, but that's what it was. I'm telling the truth, right? It's the honest truth. We're all young and do stupid things. But there's a song, the second song on this album, called Gang Bang. It's the most bloody earwormy song on the album. You cannot stop singing the lyric to Gang Bang. But also as a lyric, as a part, it's obviously, the title says what it's about. I'm not going to describe to you what the lyric Gang Bang is about. But you can understand. Okay, I'm going to pull up the lyric and I'm going to give you some of the lyric here, okay? There once was a woman with wings, happy with the simple of things. She had silk suspenders and high heel stocking thighs, helping me in my head. She was a friend indeed. She was my baby until the day she died. Ain't nothing like a gangbang. Ain't nothing like a gangbang to blow away the blues. She was a woman who was twice my size. There you go, there's the whole lot of Rosie, right? She said, only you can blow away my blues. She said, I'll tell you what to do. Bring all your friends along. Come up and see me any old time of day. Again, American connections there. Come up and see me sometime, you know. And the brilliant, brilliant, catchy single. You can't help yourself. Imagine standing there in a bus line or at school singing the choruses, ain't nothing like a gangbang. It's just brilliant. It goes there with, and it's the way that this wonderful sort of bluesy jazz intersection where he uses the lyric where he says, there were 27 guys, an unexpected surprise. She just kept on rocking till the night was gone. She was smiling through her tears for 150 years, just licking her lips and helping me along. Just brilliant. And it's a brilliant song because it sort of marries interestingly and progly into one of the songs. Progly, is that a term? into one of the other songs on the album. The title track, in fact. But after that, we get Faith Healer. Faith Healer. As I said before at the beginning of the show, one of the songs that's sort of been with me and haunted me for years. And it opens with a brilliant, maybe minute and a half of just this three chord refrain that draws you in, and you can't help but go, what, this is amazing, what's going to happen? This is one of the most brilliant intros to a song ever, and I think it truly is. And then you get the lyric. Now this lyric, I've just hit the mic there, sorry. It's wonderful. This is Alex Harvey, I think, at his very best. He goes, if your body's feeling bad and it's the only one you have, you want to take away the pain, you go walking in the rain. You watch the flowers go to bed, as ask the man inside your head. Your spirit never has to grieve. All you need to do is believe. The faith healer. And I love it. It's a lyric that says, the fingertips of holy fire, everlasting sweet desire. It don't matter what the doctor said, the healer man will take away the pain. It's immortality for two, the miracles, they will come to you. I just love it. And there's a one, I keep whistling this particular lyric to myself. And it's just, yeah. I really want you to listen to it, guys, if you haven't listened to it. And then listen to the cover versions by Saxon and by Fish, and you'll understand why it's so influential. Yeah, just, yeah. Faith and hope and charity. It's one of those lyrics. Ugh. The simple relativity. Oh, I love it. And it's a really powerful piece of music. One of Zhao's best guitar solos. The power behind it is just wonderful. The drumming and the bass is just brilliant. The keyboards just drag you along. Just brilliant. And then, of course, you've got Giddy Up a Ding Dong, which comes on next, which is just a cover version. Actually, one or two cover versions on the album. Brilliant. okay, sing along, you know, giddy up, giddy up, a ding dong, giddy up. Nice rock and roll, just something not back to influence, as he would say. Nothing outrageously different, nothing mind-blowingly, world-shatteringly new, but something that he liked to do. Good luck to him, right? One of these things he used to use live and play live before he joined the band. But Next, the album song titled Next, is brilliant. Now, I'd highly recommend you listen to this in this version and then the original Belgian version by Jacques Brel. It's basically a poem. It's like a beat poem. It is about it's about a thing that the French and Belgian soldiers used to army used to do in the First World War. Before they sent their soldiers up over the line, they would make them, they would help them lose their virginity, because they didn't want them to, they knew they were going to die, and they wanted them to experience life fully, as they would think, before they gave their lives to their country. Next, N-E-X-T. And I'm going to read the whole thing out to you, okay, because it is, to hold on, it's going to take a little while, but it's brilliant, okay? I'll read it like a poem. But the Jacques Brel version is beautiful in French as well. It says, next, naked as sin, an army towel covering my belly. Some of us weep, some of us howl, knees turn to jelly. But next, next, I was a child, 100 like me. I followed a naked body and a naked body followed me. Next, next, I was just a child when my innocence was lost in a mobile army whorehouse, a gift from the army, free of course. Next, next, me, I really would have liked a bit of tenderness, maybe a word, maybe a smile, maybe some happiness. But next, next, oh, it was not so tragic and heaven did not fall, but how much of all that I hated being there at all. Next, next, I still recall the brothel trucks, the flying flags, the queer lieutenant slapped our asses thinking we were fags. Next, next, I swear on the wet head of my first case of gonorrhea, in his ugly voice that I forever hear and fear. Next, next, the voice that stinks of whiskey, of corpses and of mud, the voice of nations, the thick voice of blood. Next, since each woman I have taken into bed, they seem to lie in my arms and they whisper in my head. Next, 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 all the naked and all the dead could not hold each other's hands as they watched me dream of at night in a dream that nobody understands. And though I am not dreaming in a voice grown dry and hollow, I stand on endless naked lines of the following and the followed. Next, one day I'll cut my legs off, I'll burn myself alive, I'll do anything to get out of life to survive, not ever to be next, next, not ever to be next. It's beautiful. I did it no justice, I'm sure. Alex does it with absolutely beautiful. That sung live, and again, please do look for that on YouTube or listen to this on the album, is brilliant. And the Jacques Brel version is available. It is in Belgian or French. But the way that he writes that and the way he portrays that is one of the most beautiful poems, war poems ever, I reckon, in my opinion, along with Waltzing Matilda. It really, really just makes me really sad. But he follows it with two brilliant songs. Okay, Vambo Marble Eye. Okay, now Vambo is a character that he brings back later in other albums, in the Impossible Dream, in a two-piece suite, which is very, very, very proggy. But Vambo was a character based on himself on the streets of Glasgow as a boy. But he says it's a cross between Santa Claus and Captain America. And the Vambo, basically his son, it was to do with his second son from his second marriage, the way he spoke. It's to do with his language, you know, kids speak. So he would say Vambo for some reason, and it came up that way. And I think had Alex survived, he would have reintroduced Vambo, I think. And I think it would have made a brilliant character for an entire album. I'd love to have seen Vambo Rules. That's his song that he often talks about, but he spells it R-O-O-L-S. I would love to have seen Vambo like Genesis, Lamb Lies Down on Broadway, you know. Would have been brilliant to see a story with Vambo's entire life, you know. Ends the album. It's 7 songs, 35 minutes and 53 seconds long. Ends the album with We Come Back to It. Remember he won that Teenage Idol competition? The last of the Teenage Idols. This really rocking in song. This is why this is my favourite album of his. And now I didn't go track by track of Framed, because I do listen to it, but honestly, mainly go back to Next, to be honest with you. I do love St. Anthony, which is the last track on Framed, but this last track, Last of the Teenage Idols, again, the way he sings it, the way he spits it out, the way he refrains, the music is vaudevillian. He stalks around the stage, you know. I haven't mentioned Boston Tea Party yet, because that's on a different album. Or Delilah, because they're very famous and you can see their songs, but this particular track, particularly, is just brilliant. It has that real, it has a real sort of, yeah, it has a scariness to it. I find it scares me slightly, I have to tell you. It's got a real nastiness to it. About a boy that has basically is grown up but not grown up, you know what I mean? Like, I'll get the lyric up. Where is it? Let's get the lyric here. All right. Part one. You can call me the Sheik of tomorrow, sleeping on the burning sand. You can call me the king of the cowboys, because everybody shakes my hand. You can call me the soft shoe banana. And the way he says it, soft shoe banana. You can peel away my skin. You can call me the last of the teenage idols. You can hang me in the morning. Sell my ball and chain. You can sink me in the ocean. You can swim back home. You can make love to my secretary. You can steal my money to call me the last of the teenage big time spenders. Part two. And it's like basically a part one and part two. It's just fantastic storyline. And it's quite a long song. But it's quite, again, it's a story, right? They all had boats and bow and arrows, big sand castles at the bottom of the moat. Rock three, who me? I wouldn't be at all surprised. Hold tight all night, keeping me satisfied. A big fat mama on her hands and knees, crying out, baby, baby, please, please, please. See, again, it's this sort of, you know, big fat mama. This, you know, Americanisms, these sort of images of American sort of brothels in Louisiana and New York. And he's just got this sort of seediness to him, which I love. And, you know, do go and listen to Boston Tea Party. You'll find that on a Best of Alex Harvey. If you're looking for the album that it's on, it's on... I'm trying to find the album it's on. I think they released just basically... Yeah, it's on Saab Stories, which was one of the last albums they did when he came back to them. Singles like Jungle Rub Out, Boston Tea Party, and Delilah. Well, Delilah was a separate single, not on an album. But Boston Tea Party. Again, listen to Fish's album, Songs from the Mirror, and listen to his version of Boston Tea Party, and you'll hear it. It's a brilliant... It's basically about, obviously, the time when the King of England taxed coffee so greatly, tea so greatly to the colonies to make more money, that they rebelled and chucked all the tea into the Boston Harbour. And it was one of the reasons for the catalysts for the American Revolution. And it's a great lyric in it. It says, that's why y'all Americans drink coffee. You're going to the party, the Boston Tea Party. It is a brilliant, brilliant single. Shame it's on an album I don't really enjoy. Amos Moses I like. Boston Tea Party I love. Probably that's about it on that album. But I listened to the album just for that single. Boston Tea Party, yeah. Hang on. I'm going to find out the lyric for you. sorry. Possum cream, no. There we go. Let's go here. All right. So listen to this live, eh? This is as we go. It's a great cover on the album, though, I have to say. Are you going to the party? Are you going to the Boston Tea Party? That's the refrain. Red coats in the village, and there's fighting in the streets. The Indians and the mountain men, well, they're talking when they meet. The king's has said he's going to put a tax on tea, and that's the reason y'all Americans drink coffee. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Yeah, fire in the mountains, flames upon the heath, and the president spits out the news, he's biting on wooden teeth. Them children of the colonies got a different tale to tell. I'm going down to the city, going to tell my folks I'm doing well. Yeah, just brilliant. Yeah. Bring back the fishes swimming in the sea. The children of the colonies got a different tale to tell. I'm going to the city, you're going to tell the folks I'm doing well. Going to the party, going to the Boston Tea Party. It was a song that stuck with me because I remember seeing the video of it when he's got the umbrella on the side. He's wearing a sort of like American sort of corn cob hat. Just brilliant. And it's probably one of those songs that sort of defines Alex all over, really, because he really loved his Americanism, so he really did. God, don't you hate it when your computer does that? Yeah, he loved his connection with the American, and it all comes back to his rock and roll. So I'm going to finish now because it's been a long episode. I just want to chat about Alex because I love him and I love his stuff, and it's my 150th episode, and if I've bored you, I apologize. But so takeaway: go listen to Frame, go listen to Next, go listen to Delilah, go listen to Boston Tea Party, but really go listen to both the albums. They're both brilliant. Anything that he touches, you go and try his other albums. I'm sure that you're going to love them. I just don't really enjoy Impossible Dream. I do like the last album, as I mentioned, the very last Saab album. It's okay. It's not wonderful, but it's there. It has its place. Anyway, that's enough for me this week. I've got an interview planned this week, hopefully with Ralph Halber from Heads for the Dead. So that might be next week's episode. If it happens, things do change. I'm looking forward to that. My interview with the Gems is now out on YouTube and on the Metal Roos website. I did put on a link to it on my Facebook page in the last couple of posts. Please look out for it. But as I said, let's not forget Alex, because he is and will always be one of the most influential musicians of the 20th century, and I just wish that more people knew him. I'd love to see another tribute band by other bands. I'd love to see AC/DC do a cover. It'd be brilliant. I'm sure they would have done one somewhere live. I'm sure there's an AC/DC fans out there, diehards, that will tell me they have done a cover of Next or something like that, or Framed or Boston Tea Party or something. I don't know. Anyway, or Midnight Moses, which I absolutely bloody love. Enough for me. Go and listen to it. I've rabbited it on. I probably have really destroyed Good Man's lyrics, I'm sure. But as is forever, thank you for listening. Do give me a review. Do leave me a whether negative or positive. It brings more people to the show. The more people that leave reviews, the more algorithm sees me, the more people sees the show, and I get more audience, and I can spread the word around. I don't care, really. If there was only two people listening, I'd still do it. I just love the fact that people do listen. Bye for now. Keep rocking.